It's a known fact that fewer Chinook salmon are returning to rivers in western Alaska than used to, especially to the Yukon. It's also a known fact that Chinook bycatch in the pollock industry has increased over the period from 2003 to 2007, hitting a record 122,000 fish in 2007 before dropping sharply in 2008. But are higher bycatch numbers actually affecting the size of the Chinook returns?
There is a good correlation in many years between bycatch and subsequent run sizes, but subsequent runs occur over many years. It's not the bycatch in a calendar year all go back and would have all gone back into a river in that same year. And so the work that we've done tries to account for the fact that some of them are immature fish that aren't ready to spawn, won't be heading back to the river that year.
Jim Ianelli is a statistician with the Alaska Fisheries Science Center who analyzed the scientific data. He explains that boats catch salmon of all different ages, but the fish generally return to a river at a certain age. So if a pollock boat is catching lots of 3-year-old salmon and usually lots of 5-year-old spawn, then that bycatch level is going to affect the number of fish in the river in 2 years, not immediately. The question then becomes, what rivers will be affected? Genetic information for the salmon bycatch was gathered from 2005 to 2007, but Ianelli says the data isn't good enough to conclusively say exactly which river each fish is from. But 60% of the total bycatch does come from western Alaska, including the Yukon, the Kuskokwim, and the Nushagak.
As a whole, it doesn't seem like western Alaska stocks are being heavily impacted, but it's difficult to say specific rivers. Some specific rivers might be more impacted than others, and that's a very difficult question.
Fisheries observers are in the process of collecting better genetic data, but it isn't analyzed yet. Many western Alaskan salmon also have very similar DNA from one river to the next, making it harder to figure out exactly where they originally came from. What the science and the statistics do show is that pollock and salmon like to hang out together and feed in the same areas. New studies show that the changing environment might be pushing them into the same places, too. Ianelli says the high levels of ice in the Bering Sea in the past 3 years have changed the ocean climate.
High levels of ice end up resulting in a very extensive cold pool on the bottom in the middle of the Bering Sea, and we think that that tends to concentrate pollock further on the slope, less onto the shelf, and I think that salmon also prefer a little bit warmer water than pollock, so the available habitat might change as temperature patterns change in the Bering Sea.
That means as conditions change, the salmon or the pollock might start hanging out in different areas. Observer data shows that currently, Yukon fish are frequently caught in the northwestern part of the Bering Sea, and other salmon from Cook Inlet in Russia are in the southeast, but that could change. Ianelli says things are variable, which is why rolling hotspot closures, areas that fishermen avoid at certain times because of the high levels of Chinook, do tend to help. In the end, though, Ianelli says he's not comfortable with some of the genetic data which points to the salmon's origins, but he says that does not mean that the council should take no action.
So I think it's important to do something now and be flexible and be able to incorporate information as it becomes available to modify bycatch management.
Which leads to yet another question. What action should the council take? That depends on who you ask. Over 220 people signed up to testify before the North Pacific Fishery Management Council about the salmon bycatch issue. That includes pollock fishermen, Yupik elders, environmentalists, industry representatives, and people from the Coastal Villages CDQ. Due to the volume, testimonies were limited to 2 minutes per person, 4 minutes per organization.